through their basic training, they're going to be shipped off overseas.
Well, if I recall back almost maybe 3 years ago, prior to just during the roll up to going into Iraq, there were a number of half and full page advertisements placed in our local advertiser newspaper. Now this is a freebie; it just comes in the mailbox. I don't subscribe to newspapers, but this one comes, and so I noticed that these ads were in there. And what there was basically, there were three guardsmen or military people dressed in uniforms with Hispanic names, you know, like Rodriguez or something like that, Romero's or something. And there was a big banner headline where if you were looking for a job, this was a great place to go to get a job. And so I contacted the general, I guess you call it, the adjutant general here in Missouri, and queried them about, for the National Guard, queried them about this advertisement that it was pointing directly at an audience. And, he crawfished all over the place and whatnot, but basically he didn't refute it. And so we could see right there that there was an attempt to recruit from amongst the chicken plant workers and the agricultural workers that have migrated in and resettled down in this area to get them to go in. I thought, well, what possibly could be the reason of that? And the first thing, of course, that came to my mind was that they would be offered citizenship because they would be a soldier, and that they would get the GI Bill, which would get them back into the system, and that once they got through that process, then they would be able to move into government positions and go on up into power like a Chertoff or something like that, you see. And so we need to understand that there are many different forms of socialism, and a military socialist state is just one of them. And we seem to be trending towards that more strongly than some of the other various socialisms. And by bringing people into our military who are from other nations, we can create a military that will simply follow instructions and anything that they want to focus against the original citizens or the middle class of America will just be a naturally followed out command.
There you have it. We'll continue on the other side of the commercial pause for the Free Enterprise Cause listeners. Remember, WWRB 11920 is the new shortwave station, 11920 listeners. And we'll be back to continue with William. And in the next hour, we'll get deep into it and take some phone calls as well. It connects many dots in many directions. Stay with us. Bob James, listeners, to have that talent with a saxophone, I'm sure Bill Clinton had no ability like Bob James, listeners. Let's see. Now, William, did you get a Berkey, did you?
Yes, I just did, and I'm enjoying a wonderful cup of Berkey coffee this morning.
Can you tell the difference?
Oh, well, I certainly can, although I've been using a Brita, which is a little countertop model. The listeners don't know my water situation, but basically I drink rainwater, and so it's important for me to filter the water that I get out of my rain barrels so that I have less work for my internal organs to deal with the pollens and things like that that come off the roof that I use. But the hardest part about getting the Berkey to work for me was priming the filters, because I don't have running water. So I finally got a bulb, a syringe-type thing, and was able to force water into those filters to get them to go. But once I got them to go, then set it up last night, and it seems to be working just wonderfully, and the water does taste fantastic.
Well, see, there it is, listeners, and He got this to support the broadcast, and you have the opportunity to do the same thing, people. The Berkey Light, 877-605-9200. Tell him you want to support this broadcast if you enjoy what you hear here. And I don't know how you can enjoy what you hear on my show, but it's relevant information. There's nothing to enjoy with this broadcast. I connect dots that are upsetting to many, and a lot of people don't want to hear it, and people have called me a conspiracy theorist and hung up on me before, and yet they don't do any research at all. Now, you can stay into the second hour, William.
Love to.
Okay, we see House of Representatives passed a $30.8 billion bill yesterday to fund domestic security amid criticism from some lawmakers that the Department of Homeland Security was failing to fulfill its post-September 11th mission. $30.8 billion more dollars being sucked into Homeland Security. Is that not highly ironic?
It's criminal.
If
you want my opinion,
I'm just speechless.
Yeah, it goes beyond any kind of sanity. We have gone so far beyond sanity. You know, we talk about billions as though they were just toilet paper.
Yes.
And then when we turn around and understand our monetary system and realize that what we're doing is we're loaning this money into existence, and that the IMF and that our federal treasury are basically going to suck interest off of this that we will never be able to pay off. And yet at the same time, if you listen to the economists on shortwave all over the place, everyone's saying, get out of debt, buy gold. Well, you know, when can we get this message to the Treasury Department to tell them and the Congress to get out of debt and buy gold?
Yes.
I mean, what is the disconnect here? There's this major mental malfunction that is coming down from above. But when you realize that the whole system is designed right now in the last really 60 years to destroy this country, then it makes sense. And you're right, Chris. There's nothing enjoyable about this. I would vastly prefer to be out in my blacksmith forge making wall hooks or a knife or something useful. But to have to continually alert and learn and educate and research, we just can't do the things that, like playing the guitar, that we used to do that really made us feel good. Now it's time to take action, and this is the way to do it.
There you go. We'll be back with William from Missouri. Stay with us, listeners. And welcome back to the broadcast. It's the second hour of American Exposé already. Keep in mind, people, to convert your Federal Reserve debt note dollars to real money is a good idea, a very good idea. If you have the ability to do that, I suggest you do. Jeff Bennett's over there at Republic Trading, 800-691-7898, 800-691-7898. The key to all this that's going on at this point in time is to get a groundswell of people understanding that we don't want to be taken out of our homes for any reason whatsoever, William.
You got that right, Chris.
And this is what's happened as a result of these weather anomalies. People were ordered out of their homes. The unprecedented evacuation of Texas, that southern portion of Texas, what we saw on the news feeds, those of us that watched, the tremendous traffic tie-up, people running out of gasoline on the freeways, their cars stranded for hours, didn't have anywhere to go, but they were ordered to leave. And as it turned out, it didn't seem like they needed to evacuate that area.
Well, you know, if we don't understand that we're being manipulated, then we're really missing one of the critical links in this puzzle. The logical positivists that started out in the 1920s and 1930s, reevaluating the use of language and the use of words, and the positivists in general, and I've spoken on other broadcasts about logical positivism, legal positivism, the positivism of Auguste Comte and Henry St. Simon. There's lots of material on downloads from RBN that the listeners can go and quickly get right to.
And that's your broadcast with whom?
Well, I've done a broadcast with you and with Michael Shaw of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, and he's really got on his broadcast, he's really gotten the best of my best so far. that you can download.
Okay, now what time is he on the network?
He runs at 10 o'clock at night, Central Standard Time, on 5.835 and on 7.465 Wednesday evenings, and has an excellent broadcast and really hits the issues of Agenda 21 just as you are, and brings in obscure folk like myself who've done a lot of philosophical research and others. But then he also brings in a lot of the people who are actually facing down the various Soviet councils and public-private partnerships around the world, and in the rural environment as well as in the urban environment. And so it makes for a good broadcast. But this concept of positivism is nothing new.
Okay, now keep in mind he's on the network. And this gentleman can be heard on the archives, which are for free. The reason the archives are for free is because the management of the network want everybody to get on board, spread the word, increase our numbers, and this is the way to do it. RBNLive.com is the website, and you can find that broadcast at 10 o'clock Central Time, and you can get those archives where William has been already. And this is very, very vital and important. And let's call you what you really are, William. You're a white separatist. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Field some phone calls, but try to get on the topic of where he's coming from. And let's pick William's mind today. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Once again, welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. Go to the website, AmericanExposé.com. The situation with our website is going to be resolved, apparently, as we have a couple of new partners, or one new partner anyway, to resolve the website and its monster direction that it obtains here, as we see it right now, the long upload time. And looks like we're going to get this resolved within the next week or two. And so it'll be much more easier for you to navigate AmericanExposé.com. So that will be happening very, very shortly, listeners. And we say a good prayer for that one. Who is August Comte?
Well, before I go to August Comte, let me respond to the white separatist so that we get that in the right concept, because I certainly don't want to have anybody out there thinking I'm advancing something that I don't. But I am most certainly white. I'm most certainly of the Anglo-Saxon Germanic people's descent. I have blonde hair, blue eyes, and all of that, and I'm quite content with it. It suits me perfect, and I love it. I'm glad I was born into this body. And as far as being a separatist is concerned, I most certainly have separated myself from the herd mentality. I no longer can tolerate what I see of our peers and our peer group, and when I go out from the little farm here that I'm on and have to do my monthly shopping, it just almost brings tears to my eyes to look at the rest of the folk wandering around like they're some kind of a sleeping daze. And my heart just yearns for them to wake up and get out of this incredible burden. But you can be sure that I consider myself separate from that mentality. And I'm very happy that the doors were open to truth so that I was able to have the scales fall from my eyes and see this world for what it actually is. And when I went back and found that, well, actually, I got this revelation one night on June the 30th, 2004, that there's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. And then it continues, and I won't go into the second part because I'm still studying it. But that word legal positivism was the trigger, because when I looked into it and found what positivism was, then and only then did I find August Comte and Henry St. Simon. And I'll just read quickly. A definition from the Oxford English Dictionary goes like this. Positivism is a system of philosophy begun by Henry St. Simon and elaborated by August Comte from 1830 onwards, which recognizes only positive facts and observable phenomena with objective relations of these and the laws that determine them. abandoning all inquiry into causes or ultimate origins as belonging to the theological and metaphysical stages of thought, held to be now superseded, and positivism is also a religious system founded upon this philosophy in which the object of worship is humanity, considered as a single corporate being. So that is ought to put people's ears up if anything's going to. If not, you're dead.
You might have put somebody to sleep there. You ought to kind of go over that again.
Well, I will. And that this concept of positivism is not new, obviously, by this definition, starting in about 1830 forward. But it is actually older than that, because Henry St. Simon, now I'm speaking phonetically, it's pronounced Henri Saint-Simon in French, but we're not French, we're English. So I just speak phonetically. You can correct me on diction at another time, but you, the listener, can write this stuff down, and I encourage you to look into Henry St. Simon, and it's spelled with an I, H-E-N-R-I, Saint hyphen Simon. And St. Simon was with the artillery, the French artillery, sent over King Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette in support of the revolutionary cause, and Henry St. Simon was on the battlefield with George Washington.
I see.
And so positivism has its roots in the very same revolutionary movement that established our independence, in quotes, independence from Great Britain, from England. And so from that very beginning of mental thought, this revolution and counter-revolution that really started at the Reformation of religion in 1517 with Martin Luther. But if we go back and just pick it up at the American side of things, from that point forward, there has been a constant drive towards bringing us fully into the New World Order. And Henry St. Simon was he was a very unusual person, and people need to look at it, but he promulgated and tried to promote the idea originally of a European Anglo-American Union, the Republic of the West. And this was the blood hadn't even dried on our battlefields. The ink was scarcely dried on our Constitution when the powers that be in Europe and America and in England were already talking about the very system that now is wrapping its tentacles around us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See? So we can play 150 different word games. We can run all over the field with all of the many branches of socialism. We can run all over the field with communism, communitarianism, and so many other things. But if we, the intelligent researcher, we, the historians, go back and simply look at our roots, we'll find that it starts with positivism, and that positivism permeates our entire civilization today.
And how many of us have never even heard the word?
Well, it's been my experience that calling in on talk shows, that none of the talk show hosts on air had heard of it.
There you have it.
And so we're supposed to be right up front, in the forefront, the cutting edge, you know, on the internet, pulling all down the data, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, and yet this system lies right behind it. Now, is it so hidden that we can't know it? Absolutely not. Comte is basically, if you open up a college textbook on sociology, you'll find a photograph and a bio of Auguste Comte, Harriet Martineau, Emile Durkheim, John Dewey, and a number of these positivists that have laid the foundation for our entire educational system. And if we overlook that and don't go back and stop reading what someone else has written about them, go back and read their writing and make up your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cooper used to say, listen to everyone, believe in no one unless you prove it in your own research. Well, do it.
Yeah, there you have it. There you have it. That is very, very true. Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research.
And that's basically what I've been trying to do for the last 16 months, Chris, is go through this process of just what is positivism and how does it impact us and how is it working on us today. But Auguste Comte came up with this idea of a new society, and that society would have at its top the captains of finance and industry. I'm just going to let that one hang for a second. At the very top of his society, his system, was the captains of finance and industry. That means that you have the Rothschilds and you have the Rockefellers and you have the Gates and the Soros and et cetera. Well, exactly. This is exactly what he visioned. Okay, so then they appoint a dictator. Well, who would that be? Perhaps Kofi Annan, or certainly we wouldn't refer to George Bush, but someone has been, they would appoint a dictator.
And
then,
go ahead.
And then what supports this captain of finance and industry and their appointed dictator is a level of their priesthood, the high priest, and these are the super social workers, and these are the scientists. And don't we hear every single day on the news, the experts say, science said?
Yes.
You know, so you see that they're driving the direction, and that the captains of finance and industry are calling the tune, but the positivists are writing the lyrics.
Right.
You see?
Now this is all very relevant. I see here from Global Green USA, Green Cross International, you've heard of them.
Oh, yes.
And we have Mikhail Gorbachev with a statement, who is the president of Green Cross International. And certainly Mikhail Gorbachev has a checkered past in the Soviet Union, and that's been swept under the rug, so to speak. But we see here a statement by Mikhail Gorbachev. We need a new system of values, a system which recognizes the organic unity between humankind and nature and promotes the ethic of global responsibility. Once again, we need a new system of values, a system which recognizes the organic unity between humankind and nature and promotes the ethic of global responsibility. What kind of doublespeak would that be in your mind there, William?
Well, logical positivism is a branch of positivism, and I did an hour-long talk with Michael on that. And if we think about it from the standpoint that words are tools and that to mean something is not the same thing as to think something, the logical positivist puts our entire language on a microscope slide and puts it under a high-power microscope and then dissects and investigates language and its uses. But they know that it is our language that creates mentally our reality. And by changing the language, you can change the reality. Now, if we go back to this hypothesis that I had, which is the all-out war between legal positivism and the natural law, it continues that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself the natural law, returning it codified, made statutory, regulated as taxable, revocable licenses, privileges. And that's exactly, I believe, what Mr. Mikhail Gorbachev has said in his statement.
There you have it, listeners. If you want to question William, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I'm sure you have questions, don't you? We'll be back. Stay with us. Yes, listeners and William. One more thing, and all of a sudden the board's filled up now. I see here... Global Green USA urges Governor Schwarzenegger to sign historic measure to improve the quality of life for low-income families and improve our environment at the same time, while the Million Solar Roofs, SB1, stalled in the California State Legislature. Lawmakers did pass the landmark Solar Low-Income Housing Development Bill, AB 1383, sponsored by Global Green USA and authored by Assemblywoman Fran Pavley, Democrat of Agora, which I'm very familiar of, Agora in California. The bill was passed by the state Senate on a vote of 23-13, and later on a vote in concurrence was completed by the Assembly. Global Green President Matt Peterson said, quote, "This legislation will help the poorest in California who are taking the hardest hit to their pocketbooks given the soaring prices of energy, including gas at the pump and spikes in the price of natural gas, according to Putnam Investments. Consumer spending on energy accounts for the past 2.4% of the income of the richest one-fifth of Americans, but 11.2% of Americans' poorest one-fifth AB 1383 will make solar power accessible to everyone, and we urge the governor to sign it when it arrives at his desk, end quote. Now, I know solar panels. I've had experience with them. I know the oil companies bought the solar panels and skyrocketed the price of the oil, the solar panels, and now they're becoming reasonable for the low-income families in California.
Well, what you're demonstrating, though, here, Chris, is how this the government, the state, the rise of statism has arrogated. In other words, it's taking this the natural law, everything man thinks, you know, man breathes, man moves, man drinks, man, all of the natural law that is historically all the way back for, to the very beginning has just been a domain of man. It's the very essence of his being. And what the state is doing right now is taking all of the natural law, all of the natural resources, all of the natural sciences, and they're arrogating. They're sucking it up into their domain, and then they're going to return it here, solar roofs. They're going to return it as taxable, licensable, revocable privileges where they actually have no business being there in the first place.
There you go.
You see?
Yep.
And so this whole concept is just riveting to me as I've gone deeper into it these last months, finding out what are all of the implications. But if you take marketing, for instance, this is what this news broadcast is doing, that one that you just read, the clip, it's a marketing piece. And what is happening, if marketing used to be a kind of like the ugly stepchild of economics, but marketing has been taken over by the social sciences. And now marketing is being used as a way to not just move out that big box of stocks that we couldn't sell any other way. Now we're using it to sell the entire agenda. And it's coming into the schools. It's coming into the newspapers. It's coming into the courthouse, the state house, and our house. And so we need to understand that this system is interlocking. It's closing the gap, because previously marketing was, you know, pretty low tech. You know, you drew up an advertisement and maybe you used a bosom woman and tried to sell your Coca-Cola or your automobile, you know, but now we're going in far deeper and we're getting into the inner workings of the human mind and manipulating them and drawing them through materialist marketing techniques. And it's a science, and it's a science that has tools now that they have never had access before. And as this GPS grid goes, as we talked about that, the GIS,
right?
And you bring in all of the various layers of the databases. It's just like watching in a medical office the heartbeat of the patient. You can press here, and then there's a jump up over here, and you withhold something here, and the heartbeat slows down. And this concept of the social sciences infiltrating and becoming married with and inseparable of marketing is, to me, not just a frightening concept, but to me, it looks like the ultimate jailer.
Yeah, I understand totally where you're coming from. Let's go take Sheldon real quickly. We might have to hold him over, but he's been holding for a long time. I didn't recognize that he was there.